Joining us now on the Normandy invasion is the man who answered the Hail Mary pass, the NFL draft rabble rouser, the former South River Rams and Tulsa Golden Hurricane, the man with the skinniest legs in the Hall of Fame, the man who did not push off in Minnesota, the original number 8, the Hall of Famer, on the Bob Steak and Chop House Hotline. Good morning to Drew Pearson.
No one does it better, Norm. If Roger wasn't available, I was going to let you do my presentation to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Okay?
And
so, no one does it better. Thank you for that intro. Appreciate it.
Thanks, buddy. Good morning from Donnie and myself.
Good morning, guys. Glad to be with you this morning.
Good to have you here, Drew. Something special happening tomorrow night on the NFL Network. It's a Football Life that premieres, and it is about you, sir, Pro Football Hall of Famer. How excited are you to check that out and see the final presentation?
Yeah, I'm very excited. I actually saw a little preview of it, and the things that they included in this documentary is even surprised me, because they had some footage from my high school days in there when playing a wide receiver with Joe Theismann at quarterback, catching my first high school pass as a sophomore starter at wide receiver on South River High School football team, which was a big deal. The first pass I caught from Joe Theismann was a 60-yard touchdown pass, guys, and I caught it standing in the end zone, and Joey was scrambling to his left and threw the ball on the run, 60 yards, and I caught it 60 yards later downfield. So it's got little things like that involved in the documentary, so it should be exciting for the Cowboy fans to see it and see some of the legacy of Drew Pearson.
Well, it's 8 o'clock Central Time Friday night for Drew Pearson, A Football Life, and they do a spectacular job on that series.
Yes, they do. They're award-winning. And, you know, I thought when they came to my house to do the interview and get ready to do the production and all that, I thought I was getting ready for a movie, because my house looks like a movie set. You know, they got the interviewer, of course, and then they got 4 or 5 cameramen. You got big trucks all down and blocking the street. My neighbors complained about they couldn't get through and stuff like that. But that's just the way they do it. They do it so well that they have to include and try to get everything possible as far as shot angles and stuff like that to make it an award-winning production. And, guys, like I said, I saw the preview of it, and there's some things in there that I don't think a lot of Cowboy fans realize that they'll see in this presentation.
Roger Staubach, Danny White, many, many more are going to just – go over all the accolades from Drew Pearson. That has to be cool. I know you have a really good relationship with all those guys up until this very day, but it's cool to have those guys speaking so highly of you in a documentary about you. That I don't want to say it feels a little weird, but to see the preview and it's all about you, does it? I know it makes you feel great, but is it weird in any kind of way?
Yeah, kind of. I had to pinch myself, see if I was still alive. I thought this was Pittsburgh. Something like that. But no, yeah, and that's what makes it, you know, when your teammates, people you played around, people you've been around day in and day out going through your career as a Dallas Cowboy, when they speak out and say you're a true Hall of Famer, when they speak out and say what you meant to them and what you meant to the team during your time coming through, you know, those are the comments that I cherish the most. Because my teammates, the guys I went to war with and went through my career with, those are the ones that know. They know about your true contribution, just like I know about Roger's true contribution, Ray Deal Wright, Bob Hayes, and all those guys' true contributions to the Dallas Cowboys. So when they say those nice things about you, you know, those are the ones you really appreciate.
What do you think of the current Cowboy team you're watching?
Well, you know, I had a lot of high hopes in the beginning of the season, like we always do, for I guess for the last 3 or 4 years. We always talk about they got the best talent in the NFL and all that, and they never stepped up to prove that. And beginning of the season, they were proving that they had great talent. They had what it takes as far as being accountable out there on the field to each other and to the coaching staff to play the game like it's supposed to be played. But now they're in a valley. You know, through the course of the season, I found out in my 11-year career with the Dallas Cowboys, you go through peaks and valleys. What you try to do is make the valley, try not to make the valley too deep, not go too deep into the valley. And we're deep into the valley now. We're deep enough. So hopefully tonight against the Saints, we can win a game and start going back, climbing ourselves back out of this valley. Because you guys know that the final games in our schedule are mostly with division foes. So, you know, it's a good chance, a good opportunity for us to create some distance in the NFC East, win that NFC East, get into the playoffs, reestablish ourselves, and try to make some success or have some success in the playoffs and then go on to hopefully, finally, a Super Bowl appearance.
Drew, do you think this wide receiving core is the best in the NFL?
Of course I do. They're second best to what we had back in the day with Butch Johnson, Tony Hill, and Mike.
There you go. There you go.
You throw Billy Joe Dupree and Doug Cosby and Jay Stroudy and people like that in there. Yeah, it's a strong receiving core. But I see these guys matching that because, you know, what I see with this receiving core is the same thing I saw with me, Butch, and Tony, is that we really never had a go-to guy. I don't think this receiving core has a go-to guy, and that's good because what that does, it puts a lot of pressure on the defense, not knowing who's going to back's going to go to in key situations and things like that. So it makes the offense a lot more effective. But these guys, if they're healthy, without a doubt in my mind, they're the best receiving core in the NFL, and they're supported with that by a good running game, a great offensive line when they're healthy, and the great play of Dak Prescott. You know, he's a Hall of – not a Hall of Fame, excuse me. I'm getting ahead of myself. He's a Pro Bowl-type quarterback, no doubt about that. And, you know, he has a good feel for these guys now. And you see that on the field. So hopefully they'll be able to continue that. Hopefully CD is healthy enough to get out there tonight and, of course, Amari as well because they're more effective guys when they're all three of them are working together, just like Tony, Butch, and I were more effective when all three of us were working together.
These days, every play is sent in. Every play is sent in. Now, some quarterbacks have a little more leeway to audible than others. But when you were a star receiver here from 73 to 83, were you, Tony Hill, able to sort of lobby the quarterback about your ability to beat other people?
Norm, you put it nicely. Lobby. Lobby. We're banged, okay? We're in Rogers' ear like it was stereo. Tony coming from one side, me coming to through the other ear. So, no, we had confidence in our ability. We always figured we could beat somebody if given the opportunity. But the thing about it is when we offered Roger or Danny White or even Coach Landry the opinions of what we can get open on, you know, we had to be calculated with that. It couldn't be based on emotion. If it was based on emotion, Coach Landry wouldn't even listen to you, you know. But if it's based on calculations on what you see, what you've been seeing out there on the field, then that's a different thing. So when that would happen in key situations with Roger, you know, Coach Landry would send in the play, but it might not be the right play for that situation. Roger would wave him off and call the play that he felt was the right play for that situation. And with Coach Landry, it was okay as long as that play was successful. If that play wasn't successful, then he never blamed Roger. It probably would have been my fault or somebody else's fault.
Man, I wouldn't think that, Coach Landry would take too kindly to being waved off. But, hey, if it works, it works. But I'm pretty sure if it didn't, you heard a ton about that when it didn't work. Like, listen to me. I know what I'm talking about.
Well, we waved him off in the Hail Mary situation. He kept sending in plays, and I just kept saying, Drew, what do you got, you know? It was as long as it worked, it was okay. We won that football game, and Coach Landry never complained. And actually, I think he learned something, that we were prepared to handle those kind of situations. And he should feel satisfied that you know, that we were prepared, because it was through his preparation and steps of preparation that prepared us. So, but, you know, we were veteran players then, and we knew what to do at that time. And Coach Landry had confidence in us, just like the rest of the team had confidence in us in those kind of situations.
You know, Drew, for a lot of people, they never saw the Cowboys play there. A lot of our listeners never saw them play, 70s, 80s, never saw you play. But watching that team you played for, I think you brought up a really critical word. Tom Landry was just crazy about preparation. He believed preparation was the key to victory.
Oh, yeah, there's no question about that. You know, the will to win is important, but preparation is more important. It supports the will to win. And Coach Landry's preparation was flawless, okay? You know, I can't remember where we went into a game where we were not prepared, you know? There are times we lost football games because we might not have been emotionally ready or meeting the intensity level of our opponent, not executing the way we should execute the game plan and stuff like that. But it was never because we weren't prepared. Every time I stepped on the field of the Dallas Cowboys, what we got that week in preparation was exactly what I was going to see out there on the field. And that knowledge, that confidence in that knowledge gave us confidence to, you know, do what we had to do out there on the field. But with that preparation, Coach Landry drove us. There's no question about that. But guys in football and sports, period, you got to have that guy. You got to have that guy pushing you to be the best that you can be. And it's not just the athletic ability or athletic talent. It's how you approach the game. You know, coming to the Dallas Cowboys, I learned a lot about how to be a pro football player, good enough to be a pro football Hall of Famer. But I also learned a lot of how to be a professional, you know, how to carry myself, how to deal with the preparation and be prepared going into each and every game. And I'm watching Roger Staubach, Bob Lilly, Bob Hayes, Mel Renfro, Ray Bill Wright, and how these guys are preparing, and how these guys are not just pro football players, Hall of Famers, but how they're professional people as well. So those are the kind of things I learned from Coach Landry through the preparation, the things that we did, and even in my business after I got out of football. You know, all my business acumen was learned by Coach Landry sitting in those meetings for 11 years, 1 year as a coach, and understanding what it meant and how to prepare to be successful, not only on the football field, but in life after football.
Drew Pearson of Football Life premieres Friday, 8 o'clock Central Time on the NFL Network. We can't wait to watch it. Drew, thank you so much for your time. As always, we really, really appreciate you joining us.
Okay. Hey, only thing I can say is get your tissue ready, because I'm going to make you cry, okay?
All right. Thank you, Drew. Appreciate it.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.